Thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you once again, Lord, for the mothers. So we cover them. We love them. We appreciate them. Thank you for your word, Lord, that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Let it illuminate the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying world. We need the light of your word. We need the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for our sister Wanda. We pray for her health, her strength. In the name of Jesus, cover her, keep her, strengthen her, Lord, through your spirit. Pray for all those in here who might be infirmed in their body and emotions, heartbreaks. Mend the hearts, Lord, and the spirits and the emotions through the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And also I want to thank the congregation for the those who came out and those who were even behind the scenes and before the scenes with the pancake breakfast on yesterday. So a couple of things that happened in addition to feeding those who came. There was a few that came through and we were able to minister and feed them. But we were able to have a good time just fellowshipping with each other outside of the four walls. We don't want to be just a four-wall church, amen. We like to take it outside of the four walls. So it was a great outreach. The men and I, we walked the community and passed out flyers and ministered to people as we were sharing with them that we have free pancakes and sausage right over here. And all those who helped out, who cooked, who cleaned, who carried a chair, who did anything behind the scenes, those that went shopping, just set everything up. So nicely, and it was all first class. And thank you, South Bay. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for being a blessing to this community where God has placed us at this particular time. Amen? Amen. And then again, just thank the mothers for all that you do on a daily basis. Did I say Nehemiah chapter 2? Well, let me find it. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said unto me, "For what do you make the request?" Then the king said unto me, "Exactly what do you want?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. So here we have Nehemiah. He just found out, and we did the backdrop last week in verses Nehemiah 1, 1 through 6, that his whole family, the people of God, his whole life pretty much, everything that he loved is falling apart. We've talked about this. We're spirit-filled. We're spirit-sealed. But how do you handle it when God allows? Because we read the book of Job and we realize that nothing can happen unless God allows it. So how do you respond when God allows everything to fall apart? So Nehemiah, he finds out that the people are in ruin. The city has been torn down. And the gates are burned. So in verse 2 and 2, look at verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, "Why is your countenance, why is your face sad? What is wrong with your face and you're not sick? There's nothing else but sorrow of heart." Then I was very sore afraid, because we know that if you go into the king's presence and you have a sad face, that means automatic death. The king does not want to see you in a bad mood because you're bringing the king's mood down. But Nehemiah, he couldn't fake it. His life was falling apart. Everything he loved had fallen apart. He couldn't give the stock answer, "Praise the Lord." How you doing today, brother? Praise the Lord. I'm fine. He couldn't do that. He had to be honest. He had to be real. He had to say, King, I know it could cost me my life, but everything that I love has fallen apart. My whole world has come apart. And then the king asked him, so what do you want? So if God is asking us this, what do we out of life? With our family, with our friends, with our church, with our business, with our ministry, what do you really want? What do you really want? And look at Nehemiah's first responses to pray. As he said, right there, he prayed on the spot. He didn't have time to go into a long dissertation. Sometimes when life faces you, you have to pray, right? God, give me the words to say, God, help me in this situation. You don't have time to get on the phone and to call and get your prayer posse and your buddies and your BFF, and you don't have time. It hits you. And what do? God has to be your first response and not your last resort. God has to be your first response and not your last resort. It's not the genie in the bottle. It's the living God who we should have a relationship that we pray daily. So when someone or something comes upon me and I'm in question, God, how do I handle it? I'm connected with God. I'm able to pray right there. You and I can never be disconnected from God. We should never be disconnected from God, because you don't know what's going to come your way today or tomorrow. The word even says, who knows what a day might bring? You don't. Give no thought for tomorrow. You have to be in the present, and you have to presently be connected to God. Nehemiah was the cupbearer, which means when the king wanted some wine, he would call Nehemiah and Nehemiah would bring it. He was positioned there for a reason. Where you are at your job, at your home, at your church, at your school, you are positioned there for a reason. God has positioned you, strategically positioned you where you are for his glory. And you don't know what that is or how it's going to take place unless you're connected to God. If you're still upset because you have a job, then you have the wrong perspective. If you would say, I hate my job, you have the wrong perspective. Because God has strategically positioned you there for his glory. Nehemiah was the cupbearer. All he would do would come and bring the king his cup of wine. But God strategically placed him there because he was going to save his people. Mordecai was just the guy who sat by the gate, but God strategically placed him there because he would save his people. You and I think we're just going to a deadbeat 9-to-5 job every day, but God has placed us there to save some people. You should never complain about your job. You should never complain about your school. You should never complain about your family. Somebody say, man, as tough as that is. But God has strategically placed us in our family to be light and to be salt. Amen? Okay, so let's pick up the dialogue. So let's go to Nehemiah 2. So 2 and 5. So he prayed to the God of heaven, and this is what he said. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor, underline favor. So here's the prayer. If I found favor in your sight, that you would send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sculptures, that I may build it. By the way, and we're going to see that the king is going to send him there. It took Nehemiah 52 days to rebuild that city, which even the enemies could say only God could do something like that. That was just way too quick. But it took him years and years and years to build the people. Only 52 days to get the city back up. But what about the hearts of the people? What about the lives of the people? What about the confidence? What about the people trusting God and living for God? It took years and years. It's easy to build stuff, but we have to take our life day by day. We have to continue this. Today I'm going to trust God a little bit more. Today I'm going to believe in God a little bit more. Today I'm going to let this go. Today I'm going to give. God has 80%. Tomorrow he's going to have 85%. I'm getting to 100%. It takes a little bit longer to build your life. But daily you have to give God more and more of your life. Yes. until he has 100%. If he doesn't have 100%, you can never know what God can do, because he never had 100%. It's funny, God will have 50% and then we'll be upset with God. God's saying, I'm waiting on you to give me 100. You waiting on God, God's waiting on you. And you're upset with God and God's still waiting on you. That hasn't changed anything. You're just going to be upset giving God 50%. But you'll never see because you didn't give him 100. Okay, so here's Nehemiah. Verse 6, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him. That's pretty cool. I wonder why they would put that there, just to show that the king, that he doesn't mind disclosing or being transparent in front of his queen. Husbands, maybe he did keep some things from her, but this, it's okay. The queen was there. The queen was right there. Man, keep your queen by your side. Don't be afraid to let her hear your conversations. Uh-oh, watch out, Pastor. If you have to leave the room when your phone rings. Where's Ivy at? Is Ivy in here? Okay, thank you, Ivy. He was normally sits right here. I'm going to have to. Okay. You shouldn't have to. Now, sometimes it's business or it's personal, but if she's there, men, we should be able to have any conversation. Youth, you should be able to have any conversation with your mom right there or your guardian right there. We'll say amen anyway. Where my youth at? Singles, you should be able to have any conversation with your church family right there, with your pastor right there. Because you know Jesus hears everything. Why do we fool ourselves like as if Jesus doesn't hear everything we're saying? So the king is transparent before the queen. He's not hiding anything from her. She's right there by his side. Make a note, man. Maybe we got to be a little more transparent. Maybe God doesn't have 100%. If my wife can't listen to my conversation, maybe God doesn't have 100% of me. Why couldn't she be right there? All right, let me keep moving. I'm going to stop getting in your business. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall this journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a time. All right, I want you to look at the answer to prayer. Let's go look at Nehemiah 1 and 11. All right. So Nehemiah 1 and 11 and compare it to Nehemiah 2 and 6. So Nehemiah is praying to God. He says, oh, Lord, I'm begging you. If you haven't been begging in your prayers, another word for beseech is to beg, to petition. Petition God. And we talked about it last week between the time of this prayer and the time that he came before the king. According to the Jewish calendar, it might have been 2 or 3 months. So he's praying for 2 or 3 months. It wasn't a quick fix. It didn't happen overnight. He spent months in prayer and he waited on God. You cannot pray for today and think it's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes it does, but oftentimes it doesn't. Your relationship has to be so much deeper than God. Then I'm going to rub the genie. He's going to poof, what do you need? And my problems are going to be solved. It's going to be worked out. It's way deeper than that. It takes months sometimes. It took Joseph 13 years from the time that he prayed and he saw the vision when he was 17 till he came into power over Egypt. He was 30 years old, 17 to 30, 13 years. Not to mention in between that, he was lied on. He was thrown into prison. He was thrown in the pit before he became the prince. So just because it doesn't work out when you want it to work out, God is still at work. Oftentimes, God is testing you and I to see what we're really made of. I'll let it wait a month. Let's see if he can hang out a month with prayer and staying close to me. 3 weeks, you done fell off the wayside. And you say, God doesn't work. Trust me, nothing works for 3 weeks. Not a diet. Go to school for 3 weeks. School is normally 10 months. Go to school for 3 weeks. School don't work for me. Of course, because it's 10 months. It's at least 10 months to get through a year. Study for 3 weeks out of the school year and look at your grades after that. So why should God be different? Why do we give God 3 weeks and give him a day and a week and he doesn't work? And so I got to go out and do my own thing. We have to get to a spiritual level of maturity where we know that, God, I'm in it for the long haul. You have 100%. As long as it takes, I'm walking this walk, this journey with you. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. How many people ran track in here? Yeah, I know I got some track. Hey, you know the difference between a marathon and a sprint? Sign up for the, what do you want to sign up? Sign up for the marathon, right? No, sign up for the sprint and then go compete in the marathon. It's really different. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you signed up for the marathon, not the sprint. You and I signed up for the marathon, not the sprint. And we're probably halfway there. We're probably on the 13th mile. We still got third. You about to fall apart now. We still got 13 miles to go. Take a deep breath. Remember what you've been taught, and let's keep going forward. Amen? Amen. So 1 and 11, look at the prayer. Oh, Lord, I'm begging you. Let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to reverence your name and to prosper. I pray you, the servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. He's praying that when I go before the king, whenever I get the call, Lord, give me favor. Let it go well. I got to go before the king. Lord, give me some mercy. Give me some grace. I have to go before the king. And then we read, look at 2 and 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall this journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me. Somebody make a note by 6:2, 6, and 1:11. Answer the prayer. After months of prayer, prayer answered. And I set him a time. Oh, and then he got, Nehemiah kind of got bold, said, okay, cool. Verse 7. Moreover, I said unto the king, king, if we're going to do it like that, since you're in a good mood, if it please, why don't you write me some letters to be given to the governors beyond the river, that they may allow me over until I get to Judah. And look at verse 8, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king, somebody underlined this, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Make a note. Pray specifically. Pray specifically. Pray exactly. When he asked him, what do you want? He prayed to God, and this is what God told him to ask for. God said, be specific in your prayers. Well, God, I want a job. Well, how about what kind of job? Well, God, I want a man. Well, I sent you a man and Well, you had a man, but he wasn't the right one. Okay. So you need to pray. I need a godly man. I need someone who loves you more than they love me. I need someone who's not playing games. I need someone who's spiritually mature. I need someone, Lord, who I know is marriage material. Guys, you need to be praying, Lord, send me the right woman, and I'll know, Lord, by the way she's dressed, if she's right or not. I will know by her conversation. God, give me wisdom not to just look at what she looks like, but look at her heart. You need to start praying specifically. Be specific in your prayers and pray according to God's will. Because if you're not praying according to God's will, then you're just talking to yourself. Because God's not going to answer anything that's not according to his will. You go out and do your own thing, and then you'll continue to get what you've always gotten. You know what they say. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to always get what you've always gotten. When are you going to allow God to take over and get into the driver's seat? Pray specifically. It takes time. And so look at verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. The king actually gave him the letters. He prayed. He asked specifically. He prayed to God. God told him what to ask for. He asked specifically. The king gave him that plus more. Now, look at the rest of verse 9. Now, the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with him. He didn't even ask for that. Pray for the ridiculous, too. And expect the ridiculous. Expect God to do it. Wait on God and then expect and pray specifically and wait for the ridiculous. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Ephesians. We've been here before, but it desires repeating. Ephesians chapter 3. This is the God we serve. That's why it's worth it to allow your life to line up with God's word. See, because if your life doesn't line up with God's word, then you're kind of doing your own thing and you don't have access. You don't have full access to the power of God. That's Ephesians 3 and 14. All right, so this is Paul's prayer. For the past 3 weeks, the theme that God has been just impressing upon our hearts here at South Bay Abundant Life Church is you have to pray. God has to be your first option and not your last resort. You have to pray. He's been leading us right back to prayer, whether it was Mordecai, whether it was Job, whether it's Nehemiah. And here we are with Paul, the power of prayer. You're not going to get through life without being connected with God. You're not going to get through life victoriously without being connected to God through prayer. We have the challenge here that every morning we wake up and we pray and we fast daily. So here's Paul. Paul says, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That's why Jesus' name is above every name. Okay, verse 16, "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man," in your inner man. Compare it to Nehemiah as he's asking and then what he receives. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints." Yes, we are saints. We're not angels, but we are saints because we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So all of us should be able to. This is his prayer, that we all should be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. No, everybody can't understand it. You can't comprehend it. It passes knowledge that someone would give their son, mothers, that you would give your son to die for somebody else who don't even care about you. You would never understand that. We'll never understand the depths of that. How many mothers have a son? Right. And you would give him for somebody that don't even care about you or nothing about you. And say, "Son, you need to die for them." They don't even care about me, though. They don't even. How many fathers have a son? And you would give your son for some joker that don't care nothing about nothing, and especially you. You would never understand that. Because the word says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we didn't even care about Christ, he died. He said, "Son, you got to." But they don't even. "You got to go, though." Well, are you kidding? You have to be. Look what they're doing. Look how they're living. They don't care. They're doing their own thing. I know, but there's going to come a time when they will care. And you have to be that bridge so they can get back to me. But they don't care. And some of them never will. But for those that will, for the few that's going to walk on that straight and narrow, For those who gonna, for the few that's going to call upon the name of the Lord that's going to be saved, you got to go back for them. Paul said, we'll never understand that love. We'll never understand that type of love. All we can do is embrace it and thank God for it. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. Here we go. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all fullness of God. Family, that's why we got to love. That's why we have to forgive. That's why we don't look down on anyone, because the same love that God saved us with, we have to share that with others, because we couldn't have earned it. It's the grace of God. We couldn't earn it, so we can't act like we've been all holy our whole life and that we've had it all together and that we saved ourselves. No, no, we can't act like that. But then Paul says in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what Nehemiah experienced. He just asked for a letter. He sent captains and horsemen with him. I didn't ask for. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, which is the power of his Holy Spirit. That's why if you give God 100%, God will blow your mind. And I'm talking about the love, the peace, the joy, the things that money can't buy, the outreach, the lives you can touch, the example you can be. I'm talking about all the things that money can't buy. We've kind of bought into the American dream, but God's given us the Great Commission. We got to kind of refocus off the American dream and the godly vision. It's a big difference. Don't get caught up in it. Then verse 21 says, unto him be glory in the church. And the church family, that's us, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, the world without end. Amen. This kingdom never ends. The kingdom of Christ never ends. That's why we can commit 100% now, because of the rewards that come now and later. It doesn't end. We're not serving a head of lettuce or a statue or some person. We're serving the true and living God, which resurrected on that third day and split time in half. All right, back to Nehemiah. Let's wrap it up for today. Verse 9. Oh, make a note, too. In verse 9, we see the results. We see faith in action. But from verse 2, let's look back at verse 2. 2 and 2, Nehemiah 2 and 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is your countenance sad? Boy, what's wrong with your face? You're not sick. This is nothing but sorrow of heart. Then I was afraid. So between verse 2, you have fear. But then in verse 9, you see the favor of God. So what comes between fear and favor? He prayed and he petitioned God. Amen. So between fear and favor, let it be the prayer and the petition. And then we see all the other things that were in between that. It shows us how to live. It was prayer, it was petition. We saw honesty. We saw truth. He couldn't just say, praise the Lord. He said, my life, my world has fallen apart. So we saw honesty. We saw truth. We saw focus. We saw transparency. We saw communication. We saw grace, favor. We saw courage. It took great courage to stand before the king when your life was on the line. All that came in between fear and favor. We saw provision. God provided for in between his fear and the favor of God. He still provided for him. And we saw purpose. Nehemiah didn't go there on accident. He went there on purpose, because what came before that was prayer and petition as well, before he even went to the king. He went to the king on purpose after he had already prayed to God. So here we go. Let me read verse 9 again so you can understand just the favor that God. He said, the hand of my God, the good hand. Remember, God's hand is good upon your life. Yes. The enemy tries to make you think that God doesn't care about you. He's forgotten you. That God causes all this chaos in the world. But we know better. God's hand is always good upon us. But the enemy always tries to disguise it to make it seem like God is out to get us. When it's actually him, God has never been out to get us. If that was the case, he wouldn't have sent his son to die for our sins. He would have let us die off and go to hell, which is what we deserved. God, please don't give me what I deserve. We have to refocus that thing. Why? Look what they did to me. Well, actually, if you get what you deserve, what do you think you, family, what do we think we deserve? I know we're wearing the suits and we all praise the Lord this morning, but just think back on your life. Think about where we came from. God, please don't give me what I deserve. So we see the favor of God. Then I came to the governor beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Somebody say amen. The king wrote those. Bam, with the king's seal on it. You know they had the king's seal on it. And they had to back off. Okay, this is from the king. You and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We walk around with the king's letters, which is called our Holy Spirit, which is inside of us. It takes us where God wants us to go. And it allows us to live the way God wants us to live. And the only thing that can happen to us is what God allows. Now, the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. By the way, he should have said, I didn't ask for those, but that's the good hand of God on me. But look at verse 10, because you always know. When Sanballat, it should be the Horonite, H-O-R-O-R, or the Haterite. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly. That there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of God. You always got haters to deal with. Everybody's not happy because you and I want to serve God. That we want to save people from this culture and from this world and from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Everybody's not happy about that. You always got the haters. You're always going to have opposition. Family, we understand that. So when you commit your life to God, know that everybody's not happy. When you decide to live right, understand everybody's not going to pat you on the back. It's always going to be somebody say, but remember what you did? Oh, all of us. Oh, so you are holy now. Oh, so you change now. Oh, so you go to church now? Oh, I remember when you. It's always somebody want to try and bring that up because when your life changes and you become salt and light, it actually shines a light on them because they're still in darkness. And if you get changed, then that light is just too bright. So they got to make fun of the light. Youth, they're going to clown you at school. You're not sleeping around. We had our young ladies' purpose and purity class this morning. Expect to be clowned because you're not sleeping around. You're not getting high and you're not. Yeah, they're going to make fun of you. But then they're going to go home and wish they were you. Wish they had enough courage to live like you're living and taking a stand. Expect it, youth. Expect it. The good hand of God is on him. He's doing God's work. And you got the haters right there. Not happy with it at all. He said, verse 10 again, when Sanballat, the Haterite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man or a woman, someone from mankind, to seek the welfare of the children of God. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And that's where we're going to have to pick it up next week. If you would, let's just have a quick minute of prayer. As we just examine our hearts on this morning, what is God speaking to our heart? God is telling us we have to pray. We have to stay connected to the heart of God through prayer. Don't be discouraged by the haters. Don't let fear stop you. Between fear and favor, it's purpose, it's petition, it's prayer, it's transparency, it's honesty, it's courage, it's purpose. It's okay to be afraid. Even after months of prayer, Nehemiah was still afraid of what was going to come before him, but he had the courage and he prayed specifically. And God did exceedingly abundantly above all he could ask or think. It's the process. It doesn't happen overnight. But we have to start the journey of giving God 100% and let God work out the details. Cast your cares upon God because he cares for you and for me. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I need to get to the first step. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you and you've never accepted Christ, what a great day. What a great Mother's Day. What a great gift that you could give to yourself as a gift of salvation. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or where you come from. Christ died for all of us. That's you. You say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ, but I want to this morning. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I've just been kind of away from God. I haven't prayed. I haven't petitioned. I haven't been living on purpose. I've been living on accident. But I got to line back up with God. I got to get back to the basics. I have to give God 100%. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need a church home. I've just been kind of floating out there. I've been visiting and I like it, from the worship to the word. I believe God would have me be planted here and to grow and to fellowship and just reconnect with him and reconnect to the purposes and the methods of ministry that God has given me. That's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. Love to be your pastor. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you, how we bless you. Thank you, Lord, that there's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. Thank you, Lord, that you're challenging us not to live business as usual, but to step up our game, so to speak, to live a mature Christian life, to trust you like never before, to love you like never before, to commit 100% to you like never before. So, Lord, we accept the challenge, Lord. We don't want to be the same. As we're almost halfway through 2015, we don't want it to be an extension of 2014. We're going to give you our whole heart. Otherwise, we'll never know what you can do for us. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for this day. Lord, we honor you as we honor our mothers. Lord, we bless you for giving us our mothers. We bless you on this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.